morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be joining you on this Friday, June 12th. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. I want to do a shout out to my mom, Sandy. It's her birthday tomorrow on Saturday. Happy birthday, Mom. Hope your day is extra special. And we're so glad to have you tuning in this morning. And you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use every single day. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. We are streaming live, KSLM.news. And I want to remind you that we record these and we put them as a podcast on our website. So you'll be able to retune in or share any particular message that you've heard, interview in the past. And I want to, as we get into some news things, I want us to be thinking of our friends, Adam and Beth Nundy. They have Capitol Pond here in Salem, and I don't know if you've opened up the Salem Journal today, the Statesman Journal here in Salem. They had a two-alarm fire at Capitol Pond last night. It says they're under investigation after crews worked to contain the blaze at South Salem Business. They're right off a commercial. Crews were called to Capitol Pond at about 11:53, as a report of a fire in the business. The fire was under control by 12:30, and officials said there was no injuries reported. And of course, it's under investigation. So Adam and Beth, we're keeping you in our thoughts and prayers today. Anybody that is coming through COVID-19 and then now this, I'm sure you know your community is with you, and we're thinking of you. And continuing on, as far as the headlines, there's this sigh, I think, through the Pacific Northwest, through Oregon particularly, about, okay, were we going to get to go to the next phase? Multnomah County wanted to know, can we even go into a phase? And Marion and Polk and a lot of other counties want to know, can we go on to the next phase? And guess what? The answer is no. No, we're on pause, and apparently for whatever reasons, and I think our governor will talk about it today at a press conference at 9 a.m. I'll try to find the link and put it up on our Facebook so you can watch it live, and we'll lay out her reasons. But I do want to point this out. I think it's interesting because one of the things that they monitor is the hospitalization rate. And my question is, and of course, I'm not privileged to be able to go and be a part of the media to ask these questions, but if you know somebody who is, they may want to ask this question. Because the first of this week, it said our hospitalization rate here in Salem, in our area, in our state, the whole state was 145 people in the hospital. And as of the newspaper this morning, it says we have 130. That sounds like progress to me. But I do know that we've had some increase in testing, and there was an increase a couple days where we had some high numbers of finding people with COVID-19. Of course, there's some canneries. I don't even know if they call them canneries, but where they're doing some packing of fish and stuff, I think, at the coast and different things, that there's some increased cases. But also, we want to remember, we also have the capacity to do increased testing. So those things are going to happen. So far, since January 24th, we have tested 161,643. Out of all of those tests, 5,237 people have been positive since January 24th. Again, our hospitalization rate, we have 130. That's down from Monday at 145. 171 Oregonians have passed away. And so for whatever reason, which again, she'll talk about today in her news conference at 9, we're not moving into phase 2. Now, what does that mean exactly? Is that your question? That was my question. What is phase 2? How does that differ from phase 1? Well, the things that I could tell by looking at the list is it increases a lot of the capacity, the small numbers of people that can meet up to 100. A lot of bars and restaurants now can, if they get into phase 2, they can stay open until midnight instead of 10. Bowling alleys and movie theaters can open up, which is something that we've not been able to experience. And so those are some changes that I see, but certainly there's a lot of disappointment, and I kind of like, oh man, it feels like I don't know. It feels like to me that it's like, Mother, may I, you know, can we please reopen and go back to work and things like that. And I'm trying to have a really good perspective and a positive outlook on this, but I know it's extremely frustrating and I feel your frustration. And I do appreciate your feedback and your input, and know that we're certainly keeping those of you that are challenged, still haven't heard from unemployment. I don't know about you guys. I'm hoping that we'll get some relief there as well. This Sunday is some good things to think about. This Sunday, we're going to gather together in a worship service there across from the Capitol in that Fountain Park area there from 5 to 7:30. We're going to have a interdenominational, you know, come pastors from all over congregations in the evening service. We're going to get together. We're going to pray. I think that's a good thing to do. Pray for peace, unity, and justice. Looking for ways to stand behind those on the front lines, letting them know that we're there with them. And that's certainly the 14th of June, something that you can put on your calendar. And then, as well, those of you that are feeling like you want to get involved in the process, in the political process, we are in a campaign season, and November will be here before we know it. And so if you're looking for ways to get involved, maybe you haven't been involved before, and you're wondering, what can I do? I want to get involved with the Republican Party, perhaps. Well, I got an email that they're going to have a meeting, a face-to-face meeting, actually, on June 18th. At 6:30 p.m. here, Marion County Republicans, VFW, they're on Hood Street, 630 Hood Street. So that might be something you're interested in attending. Good news on the home front for me. My son Nathan and his wife Abby arrived from South Dakota. They drove across. It took a couple days to get here, and they have arrived. And so that brought some encouragement to me. They'll be here for this next week. I don't know if I'll be able to get them on the radio or not. They're both kind of shy, but maybe I can get them on the radio, have them tell their stories. They both have just graduated from college recently and embarking on their lives. They've been married a few years, and they've got some real interesting perspectives on life. And when I look at them, I think, oh, to be young again. So they're here, and that makes this mama heart very happy. And I want to do a special shout out this morning to those of you in Mount Angel. Yes, Mount Angel, a beautiful area not too far away from Salem here. In fact, it reminds me, Mount Angel, those of you there, you remind me a lot of my friends and family in South Dakota. And I know a lot of people traveled through way back in the day and settled, had lived in South Dakota, and then ended up coming out on the Oregon Trail and settled in that area in Mount Angel. And so those of you that have called in and said, hey, we're listening to you, thank you. And tell your friends and family. And if you're listening and you don't hear a shout out from me in the morning from your town, let us know that you're tuning in as well. Speaking of Mount Angel, and in an effort to connect and encourage and engage and educate you, my guest in the studio today has some ties to Mount Angel. And I have to tell you, you know, people impact our lives every single day, and we have an ability to work together and build bridges and make our community stronger. And this particular ad that we have running on our station is powerful. We have an ad on our station. I know those of you that listen pretty regularly that talks about Vibrant Vision, and it has our owner, our station owner and director, telling her story about thinking she had good eyesight, and then she went and had an exam and found out that she had some challenges. And it was Dr. Dana and her staff at Vibrant Vision that assisted her through that. And it's a very powerful story. And I thought, you know, I want to get Dr. Dana on to talk about how important it is to have our eyes examined. They are an important part of our day-to-day life. And so Dr. Dana McLaughlin, thank you for being here today. And I'm excited to meet you and get to know you and your family. We have a lot of things in common. And you told me you have a connection to Mount Angel. Tell me about that.
Yes. Good morning, Stacey Ann. Thank you for having me here today. I grew up in Aberdeen, South Dakota, born and raised there, and a very German-Russian heritage. Mm-hmm. Little did we know when we moved out here in 2007 that we actually have relatives in the area with the same last name. And my father passed away 4 years ago, and he's been interred in Mount Angel Cemetery, and it's a very special place. It's a beautiful, beautiful scenery, and looks out upon farmland and Mount Hood, beautiful flowers. And there are also his relatives with the same last name, four or five of them also interned in the same cemetery.
Yeah, that's, it's so interesting how small our world is, really. When we were connecting yesterday there in your office, because Terry got glasses and he's getting adjusted to his new glasses, and they look wonderful, by the way. We were talking about how you have connections to Aberdeen, which I lived in on the other side of South Dakota, but
yes.
we probably know some similar people
yes.
from Aberdeen. And then you went to school in Oklahoma in Tahlequah, which isn't too far from where I was living in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, in Gentry, Arkansas.
I did.
Yes. And so tell me your journey about becoming an optometrist. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, sure. I went to college at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to meet my husband there while I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
After I graduated, we got married and we lived on the Rosebud Indian Reservation for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, I was trying to decide what area of health I wanted to go into. And I ultimately decided on optometry. I was very familiar with optometry as a child. I started wearing glasses at the age of 8.
Mm.
And had yearly visits. I always thought it was fun to go see the eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and my mother also, she was very encouraging. She thought that would be a great career for me. And I also decided I wanted to be able to work part-time if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought it would be a great opportunity to help people see the way I had been helped by other people, by other optometrists. So
it was a good feeling, and you thought maybe this is an adventure to be able to do this. Now, you were in
yes.
Oklahoma because your husband had already started his practice,
yes,
right?
He had started on the Rosebud Indian Reservation as a dentist for
mm-hmm.
the Public Health Service.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 3 years, we moved to Oklahoma together, and he continued his career as a public health service dentist in another Indian Health Service hospital
mm-hmm.
while I was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years later, I graduated, and he had completed a 2-year family practice residency program in dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we embarked on a journey to New Mexico.
Wow.
And we lived in New Mexico for 3 years. I did a 1-year primary care optometry residency at a Northern Navajo Medical Center in Shiprock, New Mexico, which is just fascinating scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great education both in Oklahoma and in New Mexico in optometry.
Sounds like you've had a great experience finding out about Indian culture, too.
Absolutely.
All around the country. We have a beautiful country.
Yes.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. When we come back from this break, we're going to get into a little bit more why it's important to have your vision checked on a regular basis. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem, Silverton, Monmouth, Independence, Kaiser, and Mount Angel. Woohoo! I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every single day. Enjoying my time in the studio with Dr. Dana, Vibrant Vision. And I don't know, Dr. Dana, if you talked about you've moved out kind of in an area where you're doing some yard work and things. There is a wonderful place here in town you may or may not know. Clayton Ward Recycling is accepting concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel. Also cardboard, newspaper, an office supply type stuff that you don't use. Like I had a whole stack of the Statesman Journal that I took over there, and they don't charge on most of these things. There may be some charges, but really there's no waiting, easy unloading, fast and friendly service. It's family-owned operated business for 50 years. That's Clayton Ward Recycling, Mainline Drive in Kaiser, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, 7 to 3 on Saturday. Be sure to give them a call, 503-393-8700. And so you've got the kids, you've got the husband, you've been doing some yard work and you know, getting things the way you like it, right?
Yes.
In the beautiful, beautiful area that we live in. It's gorgeous. So did you plant flowers and things too?
Well, we're kind of working more on bigger projects. We do have some flower pots, but we had to put in a large retaining wall just recently.
Oh, wow.
And clearing a lot of land of logs and...
blackberry bushes?
Blackberries, of course, yes.
Yep. That's one of the things I remembered as a kid here, all the blackberries. And for those of us that haven't been around blackberries in a while, we're like, oh, blackberries. Everybody else is like, they're kind of a nuisance a little
bit. Yes, absolutely.
You know? So you have... three children.
I do.
Your husband, what's his name?
Michael.
Hello, Michael. Hopefully he's listening in. If not, he'll hear it later. But I got a chance to meet Julia, your oldest daughter.
Yes, you did.
And she's been assisting you a little bit in the office.
Yes.
And you know, when we have our kids, they're so much fun, and it's fun to be able to work together with them.
It is wonderful. Yes. I love teaching them new skills, and they're so eager to learn and help.
Yes, and then you have tell me about your children.
I have a Julia, who is 16, Amelia, who's 14, and Stuart, who is 11.
Oh, stair steps.
Yes.
Keeping you on your toes.
Yes.
And you were sharing with me yesterday how she's started to drive, and she's helping you run those errands.
Yes,
and
taking care of her younger siblings and delivering them wherever they need to be. And
that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. So in your practice, we talked a little bit that you had gone through your schooling and you moved around. Your husband is in his practice of working with Indian Health Services. And,
yes.
And you get to Oregon.
Yes.
And you're in your field now, and you decide to, how did you come about opening up your practice here?
Sure. Yeah. Because my husband works very kind of long hours, and it's hard for him to get time off on short notice. I decided to stay home for the most part and worked part-time so that I could be around the children when they were in school, pick them up from school at the end of the day, be present for field trips, and take them to any sort of appointments that they needed. We just thought that would be so much easier to do if I weren't working full-time.
Sure.
So I worked part-time for from 2005 all the way up until last summer, just 1 to 3 days a week. I was working primarily for Shopko Optical, and they, of course, went bankrupt, and it was kind of a now or never.
Yeah. Time to do this thing, huh?
It was now or never. So I just really didn't think about it too much and just went for it. It's been something on my mind for years about, you know, whether or not I wanted to open my own practice. But it just seemed like the right time to do it. And I just haven't looked back.
So you actually launched your practice right about a year.
August.
A year ago. Mm-hmm. And took that big, bold, brave step.
Absolutely.
Did you start advertising right away?
A little bit.
Okay.
You know, it was just more kind of social media and some local magazines. Then it was in January when Cindy approached me from KSLM and asked if I wanted to advertise here at the station.
Sure. And then, of course, her story talks about how, you know, talking about advertising, you talked about her about getting your eyes checked, and that's when you discovered she had a need, an urgent need.
Absolutely, yes.
And she shared her story, and we just don't really know how important, we don't realize. And one of the things I've discovered as I've gotten older, all my kids are promoted out of the house, so yes, that means... You know, some people say you tell your age, you'll tell anything. But, you know, I'm in my 50s and my eyes have changed. Why is that? Why do our eyes, as we get older, what's going on with us biologically?
Right. That's a good question. So as we get a little older, the lens inside our eye gets a little thicker, and it makes it hard for the muscle to flex, the muscles attached to the lens to flex it and help things focus inside the eye. Mm-hmm. And so... it just makes it harder to, you just lose that focusing power, and then you need that bifocal at the, you know, or either a reading glass or a bifocal at the bottom of your distance vision to assist with that.
Okay.
With reading.
So it's not because I became a grandma.
It's not. It happens to everybody.
It's a normal
regardless of who you are, yes.
So talk to the listener who's like putting it off. Like they're going it like me, buying the dollar readers or whatever because you lay them down and lose them. And why they should get into the office and get looked at.
Right. It's important because a lot of eye diseases don't actually have symptoms. Mm. Some do, where you might have deterioration of vision, but a lot of them don't, especially in early stages. So it's important to know about diabetes, high blood pressure, glaucoma, early macular degeneration, cataracts, dry eye, actually. I've had several patients recently with a lot of dry eye that's really impacting their vision. But the ones that go asymptomatic are the more concerning ones, mm-hmm. because we want to be able to maintain your vision throughout your life. Mm-hmm. So in addition to helping with glasses, you know, we want to keep your vision healthy and keep you seeing.
Right, on a regular basis. When we get back from this break, I want to talk about how prevention should work with our eye care, and we'll get into that a little more. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Friday. Yes, it's a weekend, and we'll be looking into our weather forecast when we come back as well. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. Currently, it's 57 degrees at the KSLM studios. And guess what? It's going to rain maybe today and tomorrow, a little bit of rain showers. It's temperatures probably in the 60s, 59 degrees, it says tomorrow, so a little bit cooler. But Sunday, guess what? Partly cloudy sky. That sun is supposed to be peeking out a little bit more. So that's something to look forward to on our Sunday. And Dr. Dana, that commercial right before we got back to it, it was a pretty powerful hearing Cindy talk about her story and what a difference it makes getting your eyes checked and how important, how often should we do this? If we've got 20/20 vision, you would think we would be okay. How often should we get our eyes checked?
It really should be once a year, especially for people 40 and over.
Mm-hmm.
Under 40, possibly every 2 years, but it's really important. And it's interesting that the Dental Society has done a really great job of advocating to their patients of twice a year visits.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the eye care world, we haven't done as great of a job of delivering that message of having a routine annual eye exam just for a health check.
Right. And is it a myth? One of the things, I think it might be a myth, and you can clarify for me, people are a little, they struggle with even wanting to wear readers or whatever because they think that the eye will get lazy.
Exactly.
And depend on it more. That's a myth.
That is a myth. It's really, glasses are not going to make your vision worse or more dependent on them. So I encourage people to have great vision. It really does make an impact on your life to have good vision and have good quality products that help you see better.
Yes, and having those glasses, I know for me in the transition in the last couple years has been tremendous to be able to see and be able to feel confident. And it's changed my behavior.
Yes.
And I love to read.
Yes.
And but it's frustrating to me to have to read and then take them off and look out and, you know, and so I'm your perfect candidate. I need to make my appointment to get my eyes checked.
Yes.
And move into that next level of getting something for my eyes that I don't have to have that struggle, because I think
Right. It's
real. And so if you're listening today and you have not made your appointment, what does an appointment look like? How does that work? What do
Okay.
you do? I mean, the unknown,
Right.
that can be kind of scary.
Exactly. We schedule an appointment. We usually like to, we right now are scheduling our appointments an hour and a half at a time,
mm-hmm.
Which partly due to COVID, but we like to spend a thorough do a thorough evaluation and make sure that the patient feels respected and that they're treated with compassion and that their needs are listened to. Our primary philosophy is quality care in a friendly environment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's coming in, it's filling out basic paperwork. We do just a quick pretest to see what an estimate of your glasses prescription might be.
Mm-hmm.
We come into the exam room. I take a history, ask you questions about your eyes and any other medical conditions that you might have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into checking your vision. I use an instrument that helps me find the glasses prescription. And after we've completed that, we move on to the health check. The health check involves using a microscope, a light,
mm-hmm.
So I can see your eye in a very large dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at all aspects of the eye. We also check the pressure, which is related to glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little bit intimidating. I don't use the air puff machine. A lot of people are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that machine in my office. I use a blue light, which is a little more accurate method anyway.
Mm-hmm.
After we check the pressure, we put drops in to dilate the pupils.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I usually send people out to talk with my optician, Michael,
mm-hmm.
about glasses or contacts.
Right.
And he spends a thorough amount of time going over different materials. He does
mm-hmm.
a great job. I've known Michael for about 5 or 6 years, and I immediately identified that he was probably one of the best opticians I've
yes.
ever known. I'm so thrilled that he's on my team.
Mm-hmm.
After the glasses or the contacts are settled, the patient comes back in and we finish the eye exam with looking inside the eye at the retina, blood vessels, and optic nerve.
Okay. And so if you identify issues like you did in Cindy, then do you continue the care there?
Yes.
Or do you refer her on? Does that work?
It depends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do manage glaucoma. I do manage diabetes.
Good.
If there is a surgical need, then that is when I refer out to an ophthalmologist.
Okay. That makes sense. So I want to encourage people to go ahead and make their appointment and get your eyes checked. It's certainly worth it. I know Terry's walked through it. Now he'll have to help me walk through it and get my glasses all figured out too. And I love your office. Your office is very warm and inviting. You talked about Michael. He is very knowledgeable.
Yes.
He's got great people skills.
Yes,
and
he does.
He knows the field. He knows how to help someone walk through the selection process and what's going to work for them based on what they do every single day.
Yes.
Now for Terry, who works in the motorcycle world and tends to take his glasses on and off or whatever, he got a really durable pair of frames, you know, and it just, I appreciated Michael walking him through that process. Now, when you walk into your office in that front room, there is this gorgeous picture of Audrey Hepburn, right?
I love
Audrey Hepburn. And a lot of my pictures of her are black and white, you know, that classic look. Tell me about this picture.
Okay, sure. A year ago in March, when I decided that I was going to open the office, one of the first things they say is to look at logos to see what kind of feel of the office environment you want the office environment to have. So I started Googling eye care logos, and I was scrolling through the Google page. I came across some large canvas paintings of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so intrigued by the painting. I thought it was gorgeous. It was very colorful, beautifully done. So I clicked on the painting and up popped many, many other paintings that were just gorgeous with lots of color. And I thought, wow, those are so vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally where the name Vibrant Vision and Optical came from, is from these paintings. I was just very attracted to this this artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to investigate, do a little bit more investigation on the artist. So I went to his webpage, and as I started learning about him, it was shocking to find out that he's actually blind.
Whoa. So the picture in your lobby that he has done of Audrey Hepburn that looks so much like her, and it's in color.
Yes.
painted is done by this gentleman.
Yes. So his name is John Bramblett, mm-hmm. and he lives outside of Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And if you go to his webpage, you can watch a short video, and he talks about how he went blind from an epileptic seizure about somewhere probably eight to 10 years ago.
Wow.
And as he was learning to use a guide dog, he realized wherever he was and where two streets intersected, he knew where he was. And
wow.
he somehow applies that to his painting. He can paint faces that are just absolutely amazing.
When I try to draw a face, I get stick figure.
Yes.
I'm not very good. And this is, folks, you have to even just stop by and say hi to Dr. Dana.
Yes.
And see this gorgeous. Maybe we could get a picture of it on, put it on Facebook. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what an amazing backstory.
Yeah. And so as I got closer to opening the office in July, mm-hmm. I contacted John through email and I told him the story. I said, I know this is really ironic, right? Because I'm an eye doctor and I just named my practice after your paintings. But would you do a commissioned painting for me? And he said yes. And
incredible.
And I couldn't decide exactly what I wanted in the painting. So I let him kind of take the lead. And I said, I live in the Pacific Northwest. So he did put some rain, mm-hmm. an umbrella and some raindrops in there. And then Audrey's wearing glasses. So it's very appropriate.
It's so appropriate and so beautiful. And it just, it sets the tone.
It does.
To your office and your room. What do you call that where you have all the glasses displayed? Is it just the front room?
It's the optical.
Optical room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gorgeous. And it just, your staff, you, your office, it all is just a very comforting, peaceful place. Because sometimes that transition, especially if you've had 20/20 vision and now you're challenged a little bit, it's like an emission of aging in a sense.
Yes,
now
it is.
So there is some emotions,
yes,
right? And there's some things
are.
That people are walking through. And if they've mm-hmm. been diagnosed recently with diabetes or some health issues, and now they're saying, make sure you go to an optometrist and get your eyes looked at. There is some things emotionally going on, and
there
so
can be
having that
certainly.
Peace-filled place is an important one, and
yes.
you guys have done that well.
Great, thank you.
Yes, and so we want to make sure that everybody is going to see their eye doctor at least once a year. When a person gets glasses, how often should they get new glasses?
Well, the lifespan of a pair of glasses is probably 2 years.
Okay.
That's pretty average. You don't necessarily need to replace your glasses every year,
mm-hmm.
But some people do. If you have a vision plan, it is nice to take advantage of your vision plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also do sunglasses. We can do separate glasses for computer only.
Oh, yeah.
Or sewing. Some people, need... just driving only. So there are a lot of things, different things that we can do with glasses and fill a lot of different needs based on hobbies and work situations.
Awesome. Well, you have a website. What is your website here?
It's www.vibrantvo.com.
All right. And so they can go to your website, learn a little more, give a call, and get to know you.
Yes.
And make that appointment. After we get back here from this break, let's take a call. We have someone on the line wanting to talk, maybe ask a question.
Sounds
You're listening
good.
To Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Hello. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use, here to encourage, educate, empower, and engage you. We're having fun talking to Dr. Dana in the studio today. And Dr. Dana, I just want to say on behalf of our radio station, KSLM, thank you for advertising with us. And thanks to all of our advertisers.
You're very
because
welcome.
Particularly through COVID, people don't understand, even in radio, a lot of times the things that we're advertising are events and things going on. And so getting weathering through the storm of COVID and having folks like you stick with us
sure.
and continue to outreach. And I think people are responding or getting listeners. listeners to come.
I think
visit,
so too.
Right?
Yeah, yes. We definitely have some people coming in saying mm-hmm. they've heard the advertisement. So.
Yes, and it is important. Radio does still impact lives.
It does.
And people love radio. And our listener that we have on the line here is our friend, my new friend, Art. How are you, Art, today?
Good morning, Stacy.
Yay, thank you for tuning in today.
Oh, you know I listen every day.
I appreciate it. And what kind of question or how would you like to visit with us today?
And Dr. Dana, welcome to the community. I think it's really good.
Thank you.
Advertising, because it is important, most definitely. And just so you know, I am totally blind. I had a retinitis pigmentosa.
Oh, okay.
And I found out about it the same way that gentleman you were talking about was at the ophthalmologist, and he discovered that I had retinitis pigmentosa, and I had grown up and didn't know it, and boy, let me tell you, it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah.
What I wanted to jump on here is I wanted to say, Dr. Dana, I'd love to get together with you because I happen to be a part of an organization called the American Council of the Blind,
which is
an advocacy and support organization for people who do have blind issues, and so I think we can develop a really good relationship, because when people are experiencing things like diabetic retinopathy and they do lose enough vision that they are blind, you know, they tend to feel sorry for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And don't embrace their blindness, accept their blindness,
yes.
And then do the things to make themselves as independent and to be able to function in life. And so I definitely want to get together with you, because I think it's really important that when people do have problems, that they accept those problems and deal with them and just don't feel sorry for themselves. And so...
Right.
I do hope that we can develop a relationship, and you could refer some of your people, your customers that are having problems, to us, so that we can support them in their journeys, of maybe going blind. Because as you know, you can only do so much, and certain things do happen, just like in retinitis pigmentosa. I'd also like to jump to say that it's really important for people to support research and stuff for different eye diseases and stuff, because over the years, I'm 64, there have been great strides in finding cures and certain surgeries and all that. And if we don't support research and fund those kind of things, we don't have the wonderful things that we have now. And, of course, you know, they're trying to find different ways to deal with macular degeneration and all those kind of things. And so I did want to mention that also, because... You know, it's important to support research and help pay for that research so that we can improve, not only glasses and all that kind of stuff and surgeries and everything, but, dealing with these things that do affect our eyesight.
So, Art, do you have a website real quick that you could give that people that are listening maybe that could, or Dr. Dana?
That's
what's
a
your,
great idea.
What's your website that people could get connected to your group?
The ACB, the ACB is acboregon.org, I believe it is.
Okay.
Art, I think you make some great points, both in terms of supporting people emotionally and also the research aspect. They're both great thoughts then, and I appreciate your call today, and I would love to meet you at some point.
And also, your advertising and me finding out about you may have led to a new person coming to you. My wife happens to have diabetes, and therefore she does go to an ophthalmologist on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to talk to her about switching and coming to you, because you sound like a wonderful lady, and that you have a great office, and you're really caring, and that is very, very important in the field that you are in.
Thank you, Art. I really appreciate it.
That's a great point that Art makes about staying connected, getting your regular care, as we've covered already, and it's important to have support. In macular degeneration, which is something that has run in my family, I was thinking about my grandfather. He's passed, but he had that. Mm-hmm. And I think my grandma has a hint of that. Is that something that can be passed down or something genetic?
It can be hereditary, yes.
Okay. So it is something that if you have those kinds of things, like other medical issues, they ask mm-hmm. you your history, right?
Yes.
In your family, if you have some of these things going on in your family, it is important to be on the preventative side early on. How young should a child get their eyes looked at?
I will take any, but a child as young as one or mm-hmm. or even an infant. I have a 1.5-year-old coming in very soon here on the schedule. I definitely think by 5, a child absolutely needs an eye exam. Mm-hmm. And that's for learning, education reasons. Mm-hmm. They're, in kids, farsightedness can be really, and astigmatism can go uncorrected and unnoticed.
And cause trouble.
Yeah.
Learning, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely by 5, but I will take as young as 1 or infant as well.
We found out in my granddaughter, she had an eye, a challenging eye vision in one of her eyes that caused her to kind of look sideways and trying to see things, and we discovered as she got older, like the way she's holding her head, something isn't quite right here. So
yes.
We went and had her looked at, and she's been wearing glasses since I think about 3 years old. So
right.
There are things that you can do to correct that as you age. Now, how do people get a hold of you again?
VibrantVO.com or 971-377-1120.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Was it so bad?
Thank you, Stacey Ann.
You did a great job.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep. Thank you for listening today, my friends. Don't forget Sunday, 5 o'clock, 5 to 7:30 is the worship service at the Capitol in the Fountain Park, right across from the Capitol steps. Hope to see you there. Have a fantastic weekend. Again, another shout out to my mom. Happy birthday tomorrow. Enjoy your day, Mom. Love you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back, Lord willing, Monday morning. Until then, have a blessed day. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, my friend, you and I, we're overcomers. Take care.